Welcome back to TKW Draft Season presented by the Knicks Wall. I am your co-host, Jess. I have my co-host, Nick. And Mike, I'm just going to call you our co-host, too. You're the OG, man. We have Mike back. We've taken him back from the main pod. He's been away from us for far too long. It was time to get the crew back together.
Yes.
How are we, boys?
I've waited. This is the longest I've had to wait for draft season, but I am very happy we are here.
It was a sad wait, but a good wait, you know?
Yeah, this was the first year I actually got immersed in Knicks basketball for longer than 3 months. It was a very weird feeling.
Bizarre feeling.
Because I was already getting into draft season, like, you know, usually around the usual time of, like, January, and that's, like, when the team took off. So, very bizarre.
It really was. Like, I was getting ramped up, like, oh, maybe we'll start a few draft season pods here and there, and then I was like, oh, just kidding. The Knicks are good post All-Star break, so we don't care about draft season.
Yeah, I think I got two draft boards in, and then I think the winning streak happened, or they were just playing well overall, and I kind of just, like, deaded it. I was just like, I can't, like, I'm too focused on Julius Randle having the best season in recent memory and RJ Barrett fulfilling everything we've said on this very podcast, the first season of draft season.
Yeah, absolutely. Obi making us look at least competent in our evaluations.
Very. I have been unsuccessful.
Playoff Obi
for sure.
I just, my hope for next year is they actually use him correctly. Or just use him, period.
I still want Obi. Like, I think he's one of the players that most missed out on a regular G League type of relationship in terms of, like, being able to go down, come back up, that type of thing. Summer League too. So a Summer League of Obi, maybe after Summer League, I won't want him to go down to G League, but, like, I still think he's the type of dude that, like, will really benefit from the reps, and that'll, like, only help him in that area.
Yeah, 100%. I think they were just, I don't know, like, Thibodeau did do a good job bringing him along, but at the same time, I felt like he didn't, like, when Obi had that great game three, I'm sorry, whatever game he had 19 minutes and he had a lot of points, his career high for points, the game after that, he played 15 minutes. Like,
yeah,
it was just, like, very weird. It's like when he was clicking, when he finally got it clicking, they didn't put their foot on the gas when they really should have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess our goal now is to have some more correct takes for this year. Past two episodes, Nikki and I have kind of looked at a more broad view at the draft. We had to get our Cade takes in. I'm sorry you weren't there as the number 1A or B of you and Nick of the Cade stands, but you know, had to get those in. But now it's time to really get into the Knicks. And like we've brought up, it's bizarre not being able to kind of pick of the top, I guess we'll say eight because of Obi, like top eight guys of like who we want most, because that's just not the situation the Knicks are in this year. And we really have to think about like who these other teams are going to pick to be able to dive into who we think the Knicks might be able to get. It's just a very, very different situation.
Yeah, no, and it's very bizarre that we kind of know exactly what the team needs, more or less. Usually we go in here with like a blank canvas approach where it's just like, let's just take somebody that's really good at basketball, but
mm-hmm.
Now they actually have a couple people that are good at basketball.
I actually don't know if I agree with that, Mike. I mean, I agree that they have a couple guys that are good at basketball, mm-hmm. but I still, we're going to spend most of this podcast talking about what their needs are. I still mm-hmm. feel like it's kind of a weird place where they can improve literally anything other than RJ and Julius Randle. But also, they don't really need anything, I guess, point guard aside, which we'll talk about if the draft is where we want to see that upgrade.
Yeah, I think guard, obviously, that's self-explanatory with Elfrid Payton. Having to watch that for 72 games was more than enough. But I think wing talent, too, though. I think whether – not even, like, as a star player, obviously, that's the goal. You want a wing player that scores 20-plus a game. But even just a good shooter, kind of just what Reggie Bullock was, just a little more, if that makes any sense. Just because I feel like Reggie, they just exhausted every bit of what Reggie could have given them, I think.
Yeah, I mean, and I think I brought this up in our first or second pod. It's like, usually in the Knicks situation in a draft, you're looking to upgrade a starter position being high in the draft. This, would it be great to get a starter? Sure, but like, you're almost doing just as well if you just upgrade a bench position. Like, really, they need to upgrade like Kevin Knox and Frank and like the dudes that aren't playing anyways. If you can just get an upgrade from them, like, I think that's a win, especially where they are in the draft.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I want to get your guys' take on this as well, because everyone feels that since Thibodeau's here, and just especially after 41 wins with that roster, that there's no way in hell Thibodeau's going to coach three more rookies next year. But I think if they are going to be on the bench, which right now, if you projected the starting lineup for next season, you probably have four out of the five slots solidified, maybe even the starting lineup completely solidified. So I don't know if punting three draft picks just to say you don't want three rookies is necessarily the smartest approach. I think actually bringing them along like that, kind of like Obi and quickly this year, could actually work out much better in the long run.
And like we talked about pre-recording, like, hopefully, I mean, they're going to get a full summer league, and then hopefully the G League schedule goes back to where it's easier for guys to be brought back and forth. And if you are a team that has three rookies, like, that's invaluable time that they can still get reps. You know, that's invaluable time for Obi and quickly, especially summer league, to get those reps too. So I think that'll only help them as well.
And this is also something we've talked about, Jess, but I could very well see with those picks, you may take a guy that has a little more experience, that's a little more NBA ready, that may not have as high a ceiling, but you're confident he can get some bench minutes in his rookie year. And then with the other first round pick, you may take a guy that's more of a project or may need some more development time in the G League.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, my dream right now, if you had to dream draft, and I definitely want to get Nick's take on one of these guys, but like right now, if I had to fantasy book, keeping three picks, it'd probably be Sharif at 19, Usman 21, and then BJ Boston with the second round pick. And for BJ, I would really want him to spend the full season in the G League, kind of do what Keldon Johnson did. Mm-hmm. If anyone got to see Keldon Johnson for San Antonio, he went there as like a little worm, and then he came back as like a butterfly. It's insane. Like, just his whole body changed. It was really – I didn't recognize him at first.
Mike, you just want the Kentucky Knicks so bad, and I just hate every goddamn minute of it.
It's working so far. It's off to a strong start.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I can't deny it. Man, BJ Boston, just that Kentucky year, it's just really messing with me in terms of like how I feel about him as a prospect.
Yeah, it's Calipari kind of. I don't know if it was a veiled threat. He had like a weird press conference at the end of the season where he was like, either you're going to put in the work or you're not, type of thing. But he did say BJ was a gym rat. And he also mentioned quickly in that little rant where it was like kind of like questioning BJ or just the team at large. Like I said, it was very, very odd
press conference. I mean, he also had Ashton Hagans graduate a year early, and now he's not even there anymore. Like, I think that was their main issue, was like Ashton Hagans is their starting point guard as a, maybe he was 18 year old, but like still had 1 year left of high school. And I think that was their main issue. But hey, point guard issues, just like the Knicks, maybe they really are just the Kentucky Knicks. I don't know.
No, no, that's why I think that's why I want to address, like, if they hold, even if they don't hold still, I feel like point guard is something they could get done here, just because I don't think a Lillard trade is happening. I don't think Alonzo signing is even necessarily happening right now either. Like, I can see a Spencer Dinwiddie would make more sense, but even then you might want like a point guard.
Yeah. All right. So let's get into that then. So I think we've all established and agree that point guard is the Knicks' number one need. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. I'm going to say, yeah. The reason I'm pausing is I really think the wing was like an underrated weakness for this team.
Everyone wants wings, right? Yeah. Like that's what the NBA is right now, right? Is just like wanting wings. But let's hone in on point guard for right now. And we've established it's a need. My question is, and you were kind of touching on it just then, is do you want it to come from the draft or do you want to try to get it elsewhere? I think, unfortunately, I think Lonzo may have played his way out of being able for the Knicks to be able to get him. The Dame thing, I don't know. That him saying he wants J. Kidd and then J. Kidd almost immediately saying he doesn't want
it. How funny was that?
Like, first of all, can you hit up J. Kidd before you say that or something? I don't know, but I also don't know why he wanted J. Kidd, but that's a whole other conversation.
That is the much more alarming question.
So for me personally, that's where I wanted the Knicks to get a more established point guard, a more experienced point guard, whether it be through trade or free agency, as the options seem to probably start dwindling down. That's when I would rather go with like a Chris Duarte from Oregon, who has been in college for multiple years, is an older guy. And I just think he could come in ready to contribute. What do you guys think about that? Either of you. Nick, you go.
I wouldn't hate Duarte. I mean, it's a fairly smart.
Well, let's back up. Would you rather go draft way or would you rather go trade / free agency for a point guard?
It really depends on what that market looks like. Personally, I really like some of these point guard prospects, and I also don't think it has to be one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can draft Sharif Cooper and also not be expecting him to be your starting point guard this year,
mm-hmm.
and still bring in Lonzo, Kyle Lowry, if they want one of those guys or whatever it looks like, that especially if it's an older guy and somebody that's not going to be a long-term option necessarily, even like what Rose was this year. I mean, they're going to have be options. And I think there are a couple good point guard prospects in the draft. It depends on one of the hard things that we've talked about comparing this year's Knicks draft to others is we really don't have a good idea of who will be available, and because guys will fall and we don't know that yet. But I definitely wouldn't hate like a Trey Mann type, where again you might be able to get some bench minutes there immediately. And then also sure. I mean, the Elfrid Payton improvement is going to be an improvement no matter who it is. So a starting point guard that is literally from any other team in the NBA will be better than Elfrid Payton. So you improve that and bring a young guard off the bench to develop that you draft. I think that's the way I would go with it.
Yeah, I think it's annoying that free agency happens after the draft, because the names they've been connected to so far have been like underwhelming. Like Dennis Schroeder is a good player, but I do not want to pay him like $20 million to be Dennis Schroeder, you know? So like I would much rather just bring Rose back. I do think they're going to swing big initially. Let me just say that. I think they are going to go after Chris Paul, even though I doubt he's going to leave Phoenix. They are going to go after Lowry, even though he might be better off in Philly or anywhere else that's a little closer for a title. And then, like I said, you get to like Lonzo, who you might have to get in a bidding war over. So like the opportunity cost might not be there versus where you could just sign Derrick Rose, maybe another veteran backup on a cheaper deal. And then, like, as Nick said, draft Sharif Cooper. I think they have enough picks and enough cap space where they can actually take a swing in the draft and really like try and get like a home run pick. And I want to learn more about Cooper because, like I've said, I'm getting more into their tape and games because obviously the YouTube highlights alone for Cooper is pretty much everything I wanted. And I'm pretty sure everything Thibodeau would want out of Elfrid Payton, a playmaking guard who doesn't have to rely on RJ and Randall to do everything.
Also, just an elite alley-oop thrower.
Elite.
Just one of the best lob throwing prospects I've ever seen. And the idea of him throwing those to Mitchell Robinson and Obi.
Magical.
Wildly entertaining in my mind.
I got hooked on him or sold, which is, I feel stupid, but this is also the same reasoning I fell for RJ. Sharif played Anthony Edwards in high school. And Anthony Edwards started out hot because he's just naturally better than everybody else. And Cooper started off by getting his teammates involved. And as the game progressed, he started to take over. And once he took over, like the gym started to lose their minds. I was just like, him being able to be at that young of an age, read the game, ease into it, and then just take over. I thought that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think all of TKW, at least TKW Slack, is in on Sharif. And there, I mean, there are a few other point guards. Like, Nick, do you have anyone else? Like, I know you said you like this class in terms of point guards. I know we love Sharif. Like, who knows? I don't know if he's doing combine or not, but he could very easily shoot up boards. So who are the other guys that you like in this class?
Yeah, I mentioned Trey Mann, who not necessarily like a pure point guard, but I think he'd be an interesting option. People really like him. I'm not as high on him as others, but I think for the value, if he's there, would be a good pick. Jaden Springer is someone I absolutely love, and he has seemingly fallen a little lower, whereas at some point he was a consensus lottery top 10 type, you know, bottom of the 10, bottom 8, 9, 10 type prospect. Now he's projected to be available early into the 20s. And that's a guy that I think has a crazy upside that if he's there, that value would be something I absolutely love. And that's another guy I just really like. I wrote it published today. I wrote about Deuce McBride, who is just a very Thibodeau type, like gritty, hard nosed, just incredibly, incredibly active defender that just has some of the greatest defensive reads and makes so many plays just by getting his hands on balls and being in passing lanes. And that's a guy that maybe not at 19 or 21, but maybe that's a guy in second round you look at, or if you trade down, you look at, because that's somebody that seemingly would be able to contribute at least defensively next year. And offensively, he's got a really good jumper and a fantastic pull-up game, which are things that would probably translate into some decent bench scoring. And that's somebody I would love to see the Knicks take for those reasons.
What's good with Josh Giddey, by the way?
Michael.
Because I'm looking at a lot of mock drafts. He's hovering. He's going earlier than the Knicks pick, but he's hovering.
Let me hit on Deuce for a second, and then we can get into Giddey.
Okay.
I feel like going from Bob Huggins to Tom Thibodeau is like almost this like seamless transition, right? Like, I feel like West Virginia has always prided itself on the defensive end of the ball. And I feel like Deuce McBride would just kind of seamlessly fit into a tip system. That's really all I have to say about him, but I think it would be very cool to get him. Now Josh Giddey. I think at this point, if you've listened to draft season, you know my love for the NBL. So that's a check mark for him in and of itself. I think he does a little bit of everything. He got a couple triple doubles in the NBL this year. And I have a wild, like, what I think he could be, and I'm not ready to say that. I'm not ready. I mean, Nick probably can figure out who I'm thinking, but I'm not ready to put that in public. But man, if he is who I think he could be, basically he just needs to work on the jump shot, and I think he's there. I love him, but I will be shocked if he, like, I know draft boards don't have him as high, but I don't think people are watching the tape yet. I don't think they're at that point yet. If you're not Alonzo, if you're not an RJ Hampton, I don't think they were going out of their way to watch NBL tape. Or did I say LaMelo? If I said Lonzo, I don't know. But I just don't think people realize it yet that I think his upside is incredible.
Yeah, I mean, 6'8" or whatever. Yeah, he's like 6'8", and if he can pass like that, I'm very intrigued. I want to see more though.
He needs to improve the jump shot, but I like the form. I think it's there, and yeah, I am, as they say, giddy for giddy.
That is. Does he have like a classic draft knock, like perceived slow footness or anything else that's?
I don't know. Because really the only one I've heard talk about him, but he loves him too, is Vicini. Because he's in Australia and like watching him a lot and calls him, what does he call him? There's something about being the Australian Timothy Chalamet, and who, you know, is also a number one boy in my book. So it's all wins for Giddy for me. But like the announcers love him over there. Like if you listen to like play by plays, like he's like electric for them, and he's like the next big thing. Right. And I just love his game.
Well, I mean, that's definitely somebody on my radar, along with Sharif. And then obviously Jared Butler. And then, as Nick mentioned, Jaden Springer. I'm surprised Springer has fallen. I don't understand why. Even when Tennessee, I did the draft board, he stuck out.
I think I don't think Tennessee did well with him and with Keon. Like, I don't think they played them the right way. At least, definitely in the beginning of the season, they didn't. I don't know. I don't think they got enough. I don't know if they didn't get enough spotlight. I don't know what it is, but yeah, he's definitely like kind of dropped on draft boards from the beginning of the season. And Tennessee just like wasn't that good.
Yeah, but I think he's dropped off draft boards even since the season has ended, which I really don't understand, because you're right. His usage was bad at Tennessee. He was not used well. But even since the season ended, I feel like he's dropped quite a bit.
I don't know how draft boards change from the end of the season at this point. We haven't seen anything. I mean, maybe it's just people actually watching more tape, and really all it is them admitting that they haven't watched people as much as they're trying to let on. Like, how can your draft board change between the season ending and now, when like it hasn't been the combine yet? It hasn't been anything, unless you're finally watching people play, which to me, that says more than you're not watching Springer tape. You're watching the other dudes that you're putting above him.
Yeah. And it's just weird because Springer, he looks better when you look, like, if you just Googled his stats, you're not really going to be blown away. But if you watch him, you're like, oh, he can definitely become a very good NBA player. Versus, and I don't know, like, people that drop like that, at least my guess, in addition to what you just said, Jess, is probably just cold feet. Like, someone like Ayo, I can see falling a little bit just because people start to second guess. It's like, oh, can he shoot good enough to justify being an ISO player?
Mm-hmm.
That type of stupid stuff, which I would love AO in New York as well.
But I am one of the people that's a little nervous about AO, honestly.
Give me AO.
I just
what is it with you with it? Like, Is it just because he doesn't have a, like, I've heard people say, I don't know if he's a point guard or shooting guard.
That I don't love the way he shoots. I feel like every time he shoots, it looks like a heat check, the way he does that, like, two hop thing after he shoots. You know what I'm talking about? Like, it just, it always looks like he's shooting a heat check. I just don't love that. I guess that's really my only knock on him. I mean, I watched Illinois a lot near the end of the season just because of, like, the Big Ten tournament and stuff. And he is good, don't get me wrong. I just don't have him super high.
Right. I feel like he's also getting, like, that good, I don't know why people do this. On, it's mostly draft Twitter. I don't think teams do this, where it's like, if a player is good in college, we saw a little bit of Obi. It's like, good college players is like an indicator for being, or a counter indicator of being a good NBA player now.
Yeah.
In a way, which is like,
it's like Garza, right?
Yeah, exactly. Luca, I can't stand him, but that's just because I am a Rutgers fan.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, Luca's another example. Hansborough is like the classic example and kind of ended up being right.
Mm-hmm. When I also think when you're looking at someone like, something that Jess and I talked about on last week's pod, was the kind of recency bias or overreaction to tournament results. I think you see that with AO. I also think you see the other way, which people are worried whether it's a small sample size thing or an overreaction to his end of the year performance in a good way, that they're like, well, maybe that's not sustainable. That's not, you know, we overreacted to that, so let's drop him back down a little bit.
Yeah, which that would annoy me, just because maybe as I saw him more than anyone else just because of the Big Ten. But every game I saw of him, he's kind of just been the same guy in a good way. Like, you know what you get with AO.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel it. He also feels small to me, but it also could be because he was playing against, like, what's his name there? Kofi.
Kofi's like a monstrosity. Anyone look tiny next to him.
Dude, imagine him playing against Isaiah in high school, because that's what they did.
What? Oh, my God.
Yeah. Because Kofi, that it was his second year for Kofi. So Kofi played, I think he played for the Wrens and Isaiah for the Rocks, obviously. Yeah. Imagine them battling it out.
I was about to say, that's like
Mountain versus Mountain. Man. Yeah. Mountain versus the Hound.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's exactly what that is. I would love to see who won that rebounding battle.
Yeah. All right, so we've touched on point guard. Let's move to wing, as you brought up, Mike. So, like I said, I mean, I think every NBA team is looking for that next wing, right? Like, that's just where the league is. If you have that really good wing that can both, you know, create for themselves, create for others, defend, like, you're just looking for that all-around guy. Do you think the Knicks can find that player where they're at? Do we think they should maybe think about packaging some stuff to move up? What do you think the kind of like course of action should be for them?
This is where Knicks thing where Nick mentioned they can upgrade anything to upgrade, where like there's not a specific need. I think the wing in particular is like that. Mm-hmm. And we said this before we started recording, but you see someone like Moses Moody or even Corey Kispert, because Corey Kispert's high on draft boards, but I can definitely see
he's definitely dropped a little bit, I think.
Yeah. I've seen him like as high as 7 and then low as like 13 right now. Mm-hmm. But he's somebody I can see like just being completely overvalued by mock drafts and slipping. And that's exactly what the Knicks do need, though. They just need a guy that can hit 45% of his threes.
Yeah, this is where I would like to see the Knicks, if they keep both of those. Like I said, maybe you take a guy like Sharif with a really high ceiling. Then your second pick, you just take your role player prototype. Whether if Kispert fell, that would probably be the best case scenario of those kind of guys. Jeremiah Robinson Earl is someone that I don't know positionally is a perfect fit, but like, just a Villanova smart role player, big wing.
Like, yeah. I'm a little bit. Kind of, oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I'm a little disappointed that like someone like Book Knight has seemed to like jump off draft boards, which again, I don't know why. Nothing has changed. I literally think it's just because people started watching UConn tape, but it sounds like Book Knight's starting to kind of jump up people's boards. I think he would be a really good addition. Again, like a second year guy, so a little bit more experience, can get to the rim when he wants, and it's just like a really good playmaker, I think.
I saw Zaire Williams to the Knicks a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I saw his tape and then I saw his stats and I was very confused, but it doesn't look like, if you just watched his YouTube highlights,
yeah,
you would have never guessed that he shot 29% from three. I don't know. Is it just, did he not play enough at Stanford? Or, I don't know. He looked good on tape. Like, he would be something, he would fit like that role player kind of role that I was looking for.
As a I mean, I think he's what, like 6'8", 6'10", wingspan. He's super, super skinny. Doesn't have that like big build, but I think he was kind of going between like knowing when to get his own shot and to like when to facilitate. I think maybe that's where a little bit of like the usage is coming in. But yeah, I mean, he could very well be just, again, a solid role player, not trying to hit a home run, just like get someone who can come in and contribute. And then for me, in terms of like other wings, I mean, you talked about BJ Boston, maybe even like an Aaron Henry from Michigan State, but like, I don't like his shot. So I don't know if that's who I'm looking for. I mean, I'm a broken record at this point. Every year I've done draft season, I've just asked the Knicks to get shooting. I'm still going to ask the Knicks to get shooting. It's pretty simple. That's what I want. And if they can add to that, great. And it's funny, because like with the Quickly pick, like looking at his workout and stuff, I hated his shooting form. I just felt like it took him 5 minutes to get a shot off, but, and it still does, but like it somehow works. So like, I'm not going to complain about it. And he hits some of those crazy like deep threes and stuff, and it's great. And it's just, I need more shooting on the Knicks. That's what I need.
Who do you think is more likely to fall out of the Kispert? I don't think Moody's ever going to fall to 19. I think the Knicks would have to like move up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how likely? I guess when I say Moody falling, I think Moody's easily one of the 10 best players I've seen during the year.
Mm-hmm. So
what's the lowest you think you could see him falling? Because I'm trying to target of like, so I think the Knicks could really package, because 19, 21, and 30, was it 32?
Yeah.
That's not a bad offer if you're trying to move up a couple spots to like 12 to the 12 to 15 range.
Yeah. I think Moody, I think I've seen as low as, I think when I was looking at ESPN, they had him at like 18 on their latest, like, I think it was just like a big board type thing. He was around the same area as like Book Knight that I talked about, Trey, man, Sharif, they have at 20. And like some of the guys that they have ranked higher, I don't know if I do. Like Franz Wagner, I'm very confused on. I think a lot of people are.
Yeah, I know he's good, but I don't want him on the team.
But I like don't believe it almost. I like, yeah. I don't know. And but again, maybe that's recency bias because of the tournament. Isaiah Jackson, I don't know if I have him as high as like other boards do. He would be the resident expert since he's a lucky dude.
He's solid. He's solid.
Okay.
But not these guys.
And then ESPN has three straight international dudes from 13 to 15 and Giddy, Spurgeon, and Usman Garuba, who I know you both love Usman. So it's going to be interesting. Like, it's hard. Like, I think first we need to get we need to get to the lottery, right, and see what the lottery looks like, because that will change things. Maybe not in the top two or three, but definitely in that 4 to 10 range could change a lot. And then, yeah, like I said in the beginning, like, we really need to think about, like, what these other teams actually need. Will they go on need? Will they go plus best player available? Stuff like that.
Yeah, it's a lot of flexibility. And I think it all comes down to if they make a big trade. Because Derrick Rose said they have big plans. So if they have big plans, it's probably going to have to involve a trade at this point. And obviously a trade, it's predicated on using all those draft picks that they had. It's like the main talking point for the last 3 years is the Knicks have 5 first-round picks over the next 3 drafts. So I feel like you kind of want to either use them or use them in a big trade. So there's flexibility to go, and it sucks that free agency, like I said, free agency, if free agency was before this, I feel like this draft's easy cake. But yeah. Now it's, but it does also, on the flip side, like I said, flexibility and moving up for like a Kispert or a Moody or anyone else that might fall the lottery, I feel like would give you the same value as a strong free agent signing.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. Like, I just feel like anytime I think about like the big possible free agents or possible trade targets, like, yes, the Knicks have a lot again. And I think it also goes back to what you kind of alluded to, which is, will Tibbs really want a team of like 3 more rookies when he barely played? Like, I mean, no, he did play Quick and he did play Obi, but like not at a very high usage. Like,
yeah, that was clearly a shorter leash for both Quickly and Toppin.
So like adding 3 more rookies, not, I don't think it's a bad thing, but like, even if they do, how will Tibbs use them? I don't know if he will. Like, he does not. But again, if they're better than like a Knox, if they're better than Frank.
Right, who also didn't play at all. So it's like, that's why I think if there is a possibility where that exists, just because Frank and Knox maybe got 5 minutes of like every 3 games,
mm-hmm.
which is like something a rookie get. But at the same time, that's not really great development either.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a catch-22 there. But I don't know. I really feel like they're trying to make that big move first. But I don't know. It's going to be very interesting. I'll say that.
Yeah. Is there anything else you want to touch on in terms of needs?
I guess I will. Backup center is like a very weird position to like forecast right now, just because I don't know if Nerlens is going to come back. I don't know what the deal with Mitch is. Like, are they going to look to move on from him? So I feel like what the team wants to do there would really dictate how they use those other 2 picks. Because if they do want to address backup center, maybe they go for more like the Durante, like you said, at guard, instead of going for like the kind of, not reach, but you know, the higher ceiling, possibly lower floor Sharif.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people talk about how, especially in today's game, like, you can always go out and get a backup center.
Right. Exactly.
In the there's always going to be one in the market, right? So, shit, you could probably even get, like, an undrafted free agent if you really want. You know, like, you don't have to use a draft pick on that position, I don't think.
Yeah, having said that, I would absolutely love Usman Garuba to rock some orange and blue next year.
Of course. Of course. Man, it's going to be interesting. Going to be an interesting next few weeks. It's going to come quick, you know. Obviously, the playoffs are in full swing here, but before we know it, it's going to be time for the combine and the lottery. And we'll go from there. I think in terms of draft season, we might break it down a little bit more in the coming weeks. I think maybe 1 week talk specifically about guards, then talk specifically about bigs, and keep it going. Mike, you're always always welcome to pop on, of course.
Yeah, we got to get Joe on here. We got to get our guy Nardone.
My man Nardone. Speaking of, everyone check out Bump the Cutter, both the newsletter and the podcast, which I am now co-host of, which is pretty fun. We got to talk about Coach K this week, which was funny.
What was the, okay, I got it. I didn't hear
it's, yeah, it just got posted actually yesterday after we recorded. Yeah, it was a good time. It was a good time.
I'll never forgive him for just botching RJ and Zion.
Yeah, exactly. And
I'll never get over that.
We did touch on that in talking Coach K. He just completely used them wrong, but it's never Coach K's fault. So it's always someone else's fault.
Yeah, I know this is like drafty, but like Coach K is a good coach. I'm not trying to say that, but don't you guys think like maybe it's just me. I don't know, maybe I just don't like him that much, but I feel like he's just so overhyped. Like at some point he became a brand.
Yeah. And ever since then, we touched on this and talking about like, there were a few years a while ago, like, I don't know how long ago, we're like, Duke like sucked. Like they very easily could have fired K and they just didn't.
Like the Greg Paulus years.
Maybe that's what he was talking about. Yeah.
I remember those were dark.
I also just like don't want the whole Coach K farewell tour. Like I'm just, I don't want to. Yeah, see
I just
that.
Don't like him. I don't know what it is about. I just, I don't know.
Hence the difference between Roy Williams and Krzyzewski.
Yeah. Yeah. I still, yeah. It's just, I don't know. It's weird.
No, weird. My loyalty is to Cal, and I feel like. Cal's whole corner. I know, but I know I am aware that Coach Cal is not a great coach, like a great X's and O's coach.
He just believes in platoons, Mike. That's it.
Yeah, he'd be a great like soccer or hockey rather.
Yeah, there you go.
He's just. But I love Cal. Cal's my guy. Coach K. I don't know. I feel like Jay Wright is what Coach K. People think Coach K is.
I like that comparison. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, that's all I have, guys. Is there anything else you want to touch on in terms of needs? We good? We Gucci?
Not at the moment. I'm going to dive into some tape on it. When you guys start getting into like specific prospects, I definitely want to circle back.
Yeah. Like Nick mentioned, his profile just came out.
Yes. And check then, that out.
I'm sure I haven't seen the schedule, but I'm sure more and more are going to be coming out now.
Well, I think Eli has Sharif Cooper coming up, and I can't remember everyone else off the top of my head, but that was like the one I was really looking
I felt for. Bad when Reed asked like what's the list of prospects that like we should write about for profiles, because it's like it's Reed, we don't know, here's 20 yeah. names.
Yeah,
hopefully we hit on two of them maybe.
Yeah, no, I'm a little mad
I didn't get to write Sharif.
Yeah, it was a tough one. That was like, I think that one was taken off the board because every year for people want to get behind the scenes real quick, we kind of just put together like an Excel sheet of prospects. It's kind of just like a free for all of just like calling a prospect. And this year, Sharif went pretty quick. I would say the quickest anyone's ever gone since I got Zion.
Yeah, I was able to go write the first one, and I wasn't ready to do Sharif, so I had to go. But I'm happy. I can't wait to read that profile. I wrote about Sharif and Jaden Springer, a couple other guys in my macro profile. I know you've done a couple big boards, Mike.
Which was based off that great breakdown, actually, because that really put me on to Springer. Because like Tennessee is not that exciting of a team. I'll only see them when they face Kentucky, and they didn't face Kentucky at that time. And that putting them on the map for me. So thank you, sir.
Dope. Well, catch us all on Twitter, obviously. Catch us all, you know, make sure you're following the Knicks. Well, obviously, I don't know how you're here if you're not. Read all the profiles we've got coming at you. Mike, you're at Cortez Era. Is that what you're still?
Yep, I'm still there, yeah.
Nailed it. You also have a fresh TKW email if anyone wants to email you.
Yes, Cortez at thenixwall.com, baby.
Set that up. Pretty proud of myself. Got very that going. That. Yep. You can Catch me at JRon44. Nick at Not the Fake NC with a medium amount of underscores, since Nick doesn't like when I say a lot of all the underscores. It's a medium amount of underscores.
It's the appropriate amount. And also it's, not the with no underscores just looks wild.
It's just, you know, oh yeah. Well, cause yeah, you got a double T there. You got a, you know, that's not my fault that you just had to cop SVP's game. But yeah, that's it for us, guys. Catch us on next draft season. And yeah, we'll catch you later.
Peace.